coming up on 3 and Out.
Diving into the end zone, touchdown Atlanta.
The Broncos look to bounce back after their first loss of the season, with head coach Gary Kubiak recovering and Joe D at the helm.
You know, we don't see a big change this week, and we're going to just try to keep whatever we can to do to win the game.
It's a short week, and the Broncos will put their road division winning streak up to the test.
A record doesn't really matter. We know it's a division game, and, you know, the quickest way to get in the playoffs is to take care of your division.
Plus, it's time to light up Thursday night with the Color Rush.
Ever since we all been here, we always wanted to wear our throwback jerseys, so it's kind of the closest thing to it.
I look like a pumpkin, so I ain't tripping.
Halloween's around the corner, but 3 and Out starts right now. Hello, and thank you for joining us for this week's 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. I'm Phil Milani, and we have a lot to talk about on a short week, so let's get things started with First Down. Here with Matt Boyer, and Matt, Gary Kubiak gave us all a scare after the game on Sunday, left the stadium in an ambulance, but we got good news on Monday that he was back home and resting, and this week the Broncos are going to go with Joe DeCamillis as the interim head coach.
Yeah, a lot of people might not necessarily know who Joe DeCamillis is. We obviously know him, having seen him in the building plenty, and also having heard him on Mic'd Up this past summer. He's a guy with extreme enthusiasm, one of the loudest voices that you're going to hear on the football field, the practice field for the Broncos week after week. So the guys respect him, the locker room respects him as a whole, and I think that this is a guy that's paid his dues. Joe DeCamillis was here in 1989 as a defensive quality control guy, an administrative assistant. He's worked his way up through the ranks to become a special teams coach in the NFL, and I think that because of that, he does garner a lot of respect throughout the locker room. And John Elway mentioned he is instrumental in game management situations when it comes to, you know, late game situations, end of quarters, end of halves, right, fourth downs. So that was a huge part in selecting Joe DeCamillis for this position. A lot of guys on the staff, Eric Studisville, Wade Phillips, do have head coaching experience, but it's because of that special situation management that he was able to get this job. So like John said, anybody could have gotten the job, but it couldn't have gone to a better guy in Joe DeCamillis. Certainly happy for him, and I think the guys are happy for him as well.
Well, it tells you what the Broncos think about Joe D. He's not just a special teams coach. He's a special teams coordinator.
Right.
We've seen how well the Broncos special teams has done since he's been here. And on Monday, John Elway said that going with Joe D was the least disruptive way to go about this.
With Rico on the offensive side and Wade on the defensive side, last thing, I didn't want to have anything to, you know, load their books up any more than they're already loaded up. And so, you know, after yesterday, we've got some things we've got to get turned around and get ready to play on Thursday.
Coop's set a template for us. You know, I mean, it's seamless because he's not a micromanager. He does so many good things for us, and you know, he lets a lot of our guys do their job to the utmost anyways.
Time for Second Down, and now joined by Andrew Mason, switching things to a little bit of a lighter note, tucking Color Rush. Mace, I know you love these uniforms.
Well, I love the jerseys. I love the helmets. I'm not necessarily a fan of orange on orange. I think it's a little bit much. One player in the locker room told me he thought made him look like a little bit of a pumpkin. But it is pretty cool to see the old logo back and that old style of uniform. Even though it's navy blue instead of the lighter blue, you see, you know, the block numbers, the three stripes on the sleeves. You know, the players seem to like it. I think the fans like that jersey as well, because just in the last couple of games, I've seen a lot of fans in the stands that have already bought the jerseys and are wearing them. So, you know, this is something we'll see on Thursday and may see in the future as well. Looks like the way the NFL is doing Color Rush, we may see this uniform at some point next year, too.
What do you think about the D on the side of the helmet? It's a navy blue helmet, not the old school helmet, but still pretty cool.
It is, yeah, and you can't do a true throwback today because you have this one helmet rule. You can only wear one helmet over the course of the season. So this is the next best thing. I think the old logo looks great on the navy helmet, quite frankly. And actually, as someone pointed out to me this weekend, if you go back to 1996, the year before the Broncos changed from that lighter blue to the navy blue, the coaches wore navy and orange gear. So it's almost like they were getting ready for the change. And I looked at a couple of pictures of Mike Shanahan from back in 1996. It looked pretty good then. the combo looks pretty good today.
Yeah, it's hard on the equipment staff because the entire staff is going to be outfitted in their orange polos.
Yeah, well, it's also hard because they have to put new stickers on the helmets.
Yep.
New stripe stickers because instead of the, you know, the triangle stripes, it's just 1, 2, 3
yep.
basic stripes. You've got new number decals on the helmets, and of course you have the new D decals on the helmets. So in a short week, they've got a lot more work to do. So I know what they're thinking with Color Rush, but maybe doing it on Sunday night or Monday night might be a little bit better in terms of prep time because they're really pressed for time this week.
A lot of work for those guys, but I know that the players are looking forward to these new uniforms.
I'm excited. You know, I've been playing a lot of Madden. You know, they released those Color Rush uniforms like 2 weeks ago. Every game I play in Madden now, I got the Color Rush on, so I'm definitely excited. Got the cleats ready to go, and I just want to make it look good out there.
I think they're nice. They're going to be very bright, but I think they're nice.
It's time for third down now, and joined by Ben Swanson. Most important down of the series. Most important guy right here, right now. Talking about the Broncos' road games in the division, won 15 straight, this one up against the Chargers.
Well, yeah, I mean, when it comes to road games in the division, it's all about keeping your composure, keeping the same discipline that you have at home, just extending it to hostile environments, right? San Diego is maybe not as hostile as it once was, if you look at last year's orange-colored crowd. But
it's a very Broncos-friendly stadium there.
Well, as it should be, because the Broncos haven't lost there since 2010. So the Broncos seem to do very well on the road in the division because they're able to keep their execution at a high level and maintain that for 5 years now. So they'll look to do that again this week.
Well, what's the hardest part about going on the road in the division? There's so much familiarity between the two teams, but it seems like the Broncos, that doesn't matter for them so much.
Right. I mean, when you look at it, every year they talk about when you play like a team twice, this kind of happens more often when you play a team that's not in your division. They say it's harder to beat a team twice. And then you look at that in the division, and it is harder. The Broncos have had a lot of success, but if you go, you know, before that, it was back and forth for many years. The Broncos have obviously sustained a lot of success consistently throughout, you know, since the Manning era, but they've been able to do that in spite of, you know, crowds that they, you know, that are not very welcoming and players that know their tendencies very well.
Yeah, it seems like it doesn't matter. Arrowhead heading up to Oakland, San Diego. Broncos getting it done within the division on the road. And they say these games count twice as much as the other ones.
We got a job and responsibility that we need to do and continue to handle our business for the season. And we know this is a championship game. This is anytime you play a division game, we treat these like championships. So we know that this is a huge game for us.
This week is so short. You know, it's going to go by so quick. We're not in our normal routine anyway, so we probably won't even notice the difference besides, you know, Coop being here.
It's time for fourth down, and before we get to your Twitter questions, a quick word from American Financing.
Nothing's better than being at home. It's where your best moments happen, so make the right call. To American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans. Their mortgage consultants are salary-based, so they're only focused on taking care of you. You can get pre-qualified in 10 minutes and can close in as fast as 10 days. Call American Financing at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000.
We're back here on 3 and Out. I'm Caroline Disley.
And I'm Eric Dalala. Let's get right to your questions. First, from SB50 Champs, which is a true fact about the Broncos, we want to know, it seems like C.J. Anderson is losing more and more carries to Devontae Booker. Is that the game flow, or is that planned? Is Booker going to be used more as the game goes along? Matt, that one's for you.
I think that's just Devontae Booker's development and progression. I think that the Broncos like the fact that he might be able to spell C.J. Anderson a little bit more as this season goes along. You remember Booker had kind of a tough start in that first game against Carolina, but has gradually worked his way into the lineup. He's really given the Broncos a bit of a change of pace out of the backfield, has had some nice cuts up field. Being able to give C.J. Anderson more rest, though, is going to be important for the Broncos. The NFL season is long, it's grueling, and C.J. Anderson runs a very hard style of run game for the Broncos. So I think if you look at last year, Anderson had 152 carries to Ronnie Hillman's 207. I think that's going to be important for Devontae Booker to step up and spell Anderson so that Anderson is fresh for those games like we saw at the end of the year against New England, against Pittsburgh, and, of course, that big Super Bowl 50 win for the Broncos against the Carolina Panthers. So I think that Devontae Booker hopefully will get more carries and more chances as the season progresses, but that's not to say that the Broncos don't trust and like what C.J. Anderson gives them.
Thanks, Matt. You've always got the answers. Caroline, you want to take the next one?
Yeah, we've got one from number one fan, Daniel Gonzalez, and he wants to know if in Sunday's loss, is it more what the Falcons defense did or what the O-line was not able to do? Mace, you always got to take. Let's hear it.
Very good question, Daniel, and I'm not sure really that it was more one than the other. I think it was a combination of both. I mean, watch what the Falcons did. Just take a look at the third downs on the Broncos' first series of the game. The first third down, they bring a couple of guys over the A-gaps. They really look like they're showing blitz. And then on the next third down, they don't have anyone over the A-gaps, and you've got the four defensive linemen, and all of them are wide and outside. So it starts with wanting to throw some different looks at Paxton Lynch in his first start and try to confuse him. And then, of course, you had Vic Beasley, and he just ran riot. You know, Tyson Brailo, you know, he had the elbow injury. He's got the brace on his elbow. He had the labrum injury last year, and it looks like he's still struggling, you know, to account for that and compensate for that. And then, of course, by the fourth quarter, they moved Michael Schofield outside, and Darian Weems took over Schofield's spot at right guard. So I think it was a little bit of both. We'll see if the Chargers throw some different things at the Broncos this week. Remember, John Pagano, San Diego's defensive coordinator, always has a different wrinkle or two. But, you know, Donald Stevenson had a full practice on Monday. Broncos are hoping to have him back this week and have Virgil Green back this week as well. So hopefully some of the issues the Broncos had on Sunday won't be repeated just by having those two big blockers out there.
Thanks, Mace, as always. And Daniel Gonzalez, you are our hashtag number one fan. Eric, let's finish it off.
Mace, I know you brought Donald Stevenson and Virgil Green up a little bit, but Mike Bedford wants to know, will they be back this week? Ben Swanson, what do you think?
Thanks for your question, Mike. It seems like we're getting closer to that decision. Both Stevenson and Green were full with their calf injuries on Monday as the team nears for its departure on Wednesday to San Diego for the Thursday game. They've been close last week before the Sunday game. It seems like they were getting a little bit better, limited in practice, getting closer to full. If they get a couple practices with full participation, it seems like they'll have the confidence to go on Thursday. Obviously, as Mace mentioned earlier, this will give them a little bit of a boost in the both the pass protection and in the run blocking. Virgil Green is a competent blocker in the run game. Donald Stevenson, who has been working with the offensive line throughout training camp and throughout the OTAs, obviously has a little bit more experience in his years going back to Kansas City as well. So with both them able to go, if that happens on Thursday, you'll be able to see the full offensive line and the offense looking back to normal.
Thanks, Swanson. You're still narrowly ahead of Matt in the takes race.
And thank you guys, as always, for your questions. We'll be back here next week on 3 and Out. Phil, back to you.
Thank you very much, guys. That's going to do it for this week's show. Special thanks to Matt Boyer, Andrew Mason, Ben Swanson, our intern extraordinaires, and Austin Brink behind the camera. I'm Phil Milani, and that's been 3 and Out, presented by American Financing, Colorado's home for home loans.